stories told of a group of people smuggling themselves over the border. This doesn't have to be the United States-Mexican border. Imagine Romania, Ukraine, which is not a simple thing. I passed that border this summer. It took hours. So you decide, why should I go through the official channels? We're going to smuggle. So there are three groups in this endeavor. Some who had never done such a thing before. There's some who used to, what they used to call Begonev the Vool, steal the border a lot of times. And there was the third group, the guys who arranged it. The arrangers who made their parnasa, they made a living from smuggling people across the border or not. Now, from the day that they decided to do this, the people who had never done such a thing were nervous. They were wringing their hands. They could hardly sleep, hardly eat. And smuggling the border is a serious thing when they're real borders. And there's a second group. Second group had done it a bunch of times. They weren't that nervous. But when they got on the wagon, going back to the wagon days, so they also started to get a little bit nervous. It's coming up, you know? And then the third group, the smugglers, they were cool. They're used to this. It's how they make a living every Monday, Thursday. The plans didn't get them nervous. Getting on the wagon to get them nervous. But even them, as they got close to the border, you know, and they started to see the guards from the other side, they also started to get nervous. But there was one group who wasn't nervous. Anybody know who that group was? The horses. The horses weren't nervous. Sir Vos say, it's also like that when we approach Yom Kippur. Now there are tzaddikim who already, days before Rosh Hashanah, I was starting to think, you know, Agon HaKadosh, I'm very fond of quoting the huge Talmud Chacham that was zochet to be around, Agon HaKadosh Rav Moshe Tursky, who was the brother of Meir, spoke so eloquently, so cogently over the summer by us twice. So he was, it's put in the book about him, it's a wonderful book for everybody to read, A Malach in Our Midst. He was tragically killed, very close to here, we'll talk about that now. He was really a great man, Rav Soloveitchik's grandson. He used to tell his family, it's 100 days till Rosh Hashanah. 100 days till Rosh Hashanah. That's how he used to speak in the Tversky house. I think that comes out, I forgot once, somewhere in Sivan. And people of old used to be very moved. By Kol Koriel, when they would be Mevarech HaChodesh and say, Elo's coming. That, people were tremendously moved. Futner, you said, when he was a boy in Slemensk, he remembers. And Elo, this period, to tell a joke in Slemensk, was like telling a joke at a Levaya. Even the funniest people realize you're at a funeral, they don't tell jokes, not a time for jokes. And even those on a lower level, as Rosh Hashanah was approaching, they got moved. I'm going to share a few things about how the earlier Doris were in this period. So this is from Rav Moshe Sternbuch, one of the great Gaonim of our generation, who was in Har Nof, a posik in the whole Torah. So he says he remembers, it's amazing, the kind of ksharim he had with those of the earlier generations. I remember how Rav Elia Lopian, a famous person, he would say in all of his sichot, he gave many sichot, many shmuzim and elul, b'chojomer, hayom kach v'kach yom, today is this many days in terms of Rosh Hashanah, the whole elul, 29, 22, 15, 8, 3, that's how he used to speak. But listen to this, minigna risi etel avi, my father, Rav Sternbuch's father, I think he grew up in England, haylomi b'chol shabbos shel chodesh, used to teach during on the Shulchan Shabbat, the Rambam and Hilchas Tshuva, together with all the kids. Time to start learning about Tshuva. And he says, beautifully, he says, after my father passed away, my mother continued that minig, and my mother used to teach us the Rambam and Hilchas Tshuva at the table. But not only that, she would do it with a nigun, like the Bali Musar, and with tears and crying in a simple way. This is how his mother used to read to him Hilchas Tshuva during Elul. He says he was once by the Brisker Rav, the famous Brisker Rav, right, towards his great-uncle, something like that. Kishayitzi Eitzel Marin HaGriz, Motzei Shas Be'elul, I heard him say it himself, B'sheket Latzmo, Summer Mipachtecha B'sori, my body is fearful from you, Mishpatech Yerezi, from your judgment I fear. And he said, furthermore, that the Brisker Rav used to say a few weeks before Rosh Hashanah already, he had no time and food. He ate, but he didn't enjoy it anymore because he was so moved. So we'll say, what can we do that we shouldn't be like the horses? Huh? I didn't want to finish off before, but what do we do? You know, so I was thinking like this. The horses don't feel anything. But not only don't they feel anything, they don't even act like they feel something. In other words, there's a madrega in the mushel of getting moved. And then from getting moved, there's a level of the horses that feel nothing. So sometimes, even if we don't feel things, we can at least act like we feel things. And I don't mean to say fake it like until we make it, that concept. What I mean to say is, let's say I had a judgment on $100,000. That would move me. That's a lot of money, $100,000. Huh? So now there's a stage when I'm moved by that. And there's a stage for some strange reason, I'm pushing a crazy person, that it doesn't move me. I'm not nervous, I'm not thinking about it, right? But even if I was like that, and I think everybody here would at least think, how do I win the judgment, right? A normal person, the normal reaction to having a judgment is $100,000. Watch this one sometimes with your wife. When you lose some money, and she thinks it's a big deal, and you don't think it's a big deal. And she thinks you're not a normal person, and you think you're a normal person. Okay, so that's a machlokas between men and women often, one way or the other. But then, every person realizes $100,000, $10,000, you got to be moved. So we're not moved for some reason. Yeah, we're crazy people. But at least let's act like we're moved, right? Because we can still prepare for the judgment and think about how to do the judgment in a good way, even if we're not moved. And that takes us out of the category of being horses. Because a horse isn't moved, and he doesn't realize he should be moved, and he doesn't act in any special way. So how do we prepare for this? How do we at least get ourselves in sync and think properly about the fact that judgment's coming? And it wasn't a foreign concept. It was a very, very Jewish concept across the whole Jewish board, whole Jewish world, that people were moved, nervous. And Rosh Hashanah, they remembered that it was Yom HaDin. It was a great day of Malchus. It was a great day of Ali. It was a great day of Romus, but it was a judgment. And that's it is. And us not believing it is not going to change the reality that it is a judgment. Just like we can't change gravity. Hashem is coming to judgment in the world. That's what the day is. So let's plan, at least as if we're moved. So the smartest thing to do, if we were in a judgment, would be to think, how does the judge make his judgment? Huh? How does he act? How do you work the system? Every system is a system. And when they're system, they're in the secular world, they're chinks in the system. You know? You speak to this judge about that. That's why they don't let the people speak to judge and things like that. So Chazal and the Torah talked to us and gave us directions and gave us insight and how to make the judgment work better for us. Okay? So I've shared some of these ideas in the yeshiva in the past, but I want to try to take them a little more practical this time and go over them because they're really important. Idea number one. Listen to what Chazal say. And there are a lot of Chazals like this. There are whole books about this, but we're going to bring down three central ideas. And anybody who wants to go forward, there's an excellent book by someone named Chanoch Karelenstein. Zatzal. He has a whole book about this, these types of ideas. You can look at it. It's an excellent book. But so, idea number one. Kol ha-merachim al ha-brios, merachim al ha-lov min ha-shamayim. Someone who has mercy on the creation, on creatures, God has rachmanis on them. Right? That's a great thing. What's judgment? Judgment's scary. Right? The best thing we can do is to get Hashem to have a little more rachmanis on us. So Chazal told us a way. Kol merachim al ha-brios, merachim al ha-shamayim. Rachmanis, mercy. And I want to focus on this. You know, it's not so popular today. And I speak to myself. And there's a problem I have. You know, it's such a Jewish thing. When you think about conjure up Jews, Jewish mothers, that we care about Tzaras, we care about other Yidden. You know, I remember Soloveitchik writes, I think it's an Ala Tshuva. There's a little boy, when they hear about a Tzara, the Klal Yisrael, someone went through hundreds of miles away, moved them. The whole town was moved. People were moved. That's Rachmanis, I care. Tzaras. You know, we come so used to hearing about difficulties today, and I think the fact that it's so available, we hear so much, so we're just turned off. We're emotionally a little bit dead to these things. But it's a deeply Jewish thing to have rachmanis, to have mercy. Shlomo Zalman Orbach, famed posik in Yerushalayim, a lot of the the Pesachim, the Derech, the Yeshiva here, we owe to him, what the Rosh Yeshiva told me. So Rav Shlomo Zalman used to say a story of Reb Baruch Tam. Reb Baruch Tumim Frankel, he was a very, very famous Rav, and we have his farm, he was the father-in-law of the famed Divrei Chaim, Kodesh Hashem, the Divrei Chaim, founder of the Tzanzer Hasidus. And one of his sons became, and listen to this story, Shlomo Zalman used to say this story, one of his sons became engaged, okay? At the same time, nothing to do with the son's engagement, the water carrier in the town was very sick. Okay, what would you do if you heard the water carrier of the town was sick? You feel bad, you down for him. The Baruch Tam was out of sorts. He wasn't himself. He was so upset that the water carrier wasn't well. Fine. Part one. Part two. The Kal and her family, you know, as Mechutanim do, came to see Baruch Tam. And they had them in the family. Listen to this. Most people could compose themselves. You know, nothing to do. They didn't know the water carrier. They're from who knows where they're from. And they came to the Baruch Tam and they said to him, listen, the Rav is out of sorts. He's Osmensch, saying Yiddish. He's not himself because of the water carrier. So the Kala, I want you to think what your reaction would be to this. So the Kala turned to her illustrious father-in-law to be, and she said, I understand you daven for him, but what's the toelis? What's the difference of being so out of sorts? Why? You daven and go on. What was the Baruch Tam's reaction to this? You know what he said? He broke the shidduch. That's not a daughter-in-law for my son. Someone who doesn't understand that I'm out of sorts for the water carrying the town, not a shidduch that we do in the family. He didn't ostracize her, he didn't put a cherem on her, but that's not a shidduch for our family. So Rabosai, let's think a little bit. Why is it so difficult to us today? So let's try to think about it. I want to offer two insights into the way I see where we are at today. You think about it, whether it rings true to you, whether it resonates with you. And there's a lot of aspects to why we are, why we're not a certain way, but I want to offer two insights. One, we are, again, when I say we, I don't mean people here. I'm talking about the world at large, Jewish world at large, you know, it's one man's two cents. You know, we're getting less and less truly emotional. We're getting less emotional. But listen to this. The world is training us to be more and more selfish and to be bigger and bigger crybabies. And that's a counterfeit to real emotion. You see? What do you mean I'm not emotional? I get offended all the time. You know? I'm moved all the time. That's not emotion. That's not what it means when we say a regish. Regish is a holy thing in Judaism. The yeshivas used to build emotional people. In Slobodka they had Bali Shir. People made songs. People wrote poetry. Do you get moved by beauty? Do you get moved by other people? Do you get excited by a piece of Torah? Does a fine piece of music hit you somewhere? That's what it means to be emotional. So if we're not emotional, it's hard to have rachmanis, which is an emotion. Right? It's not that we're bad, we're just like, we're a little cut off. The other obstacle, I think, again, we're talking about in today's mindset, is we're very growth number oriented. I read this in a phenomenal secular book called Homo Deus, something like that, I can't remember. A secular author, he's a professor in Hebrew U, very wise man, a lot of stupid ideas in the book, but it's a very, very interesting ideas. So he says, it doesn't make a difference who you are today. Capitalist, communist, fascist, pacifist, left, right, west, east, the whole world agrees on one thing, which doesn't have to be agreed on, which is growth. Think about it, right? Everybody agrees on growth. What do we do in our company? Growth. What are we doing in the city? Growth. What are we doing in Yeshiva? Growth. It's a word. It's a byword. Everybody believes in growth. Everybody believes in numbers. Didn't have to be that way. A person could say, you know, I got my company. It's good. Right? You're not from a deep religious perspective. I'm happy with what it is. Here it is. This is what it is. It doesn't have to be bigger, 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 bigger. But think about it. It was a very penetrating insight across the board. All sides. Everybody agrees. Politically, whoever you are, we got to get bigger. That means we are in a number-oriented, success-oriented, deep mindset. Now, what does that do? Rachmanis in that world isn't a value. You have mercy, don't have mercy. Like the Baruch Tam's Oma's daughter-in-law, who wasn't zochet to get into that family. What's the difference? Think about it. You have Rachmanis, you don't have Rachmanis, you're going to go on the same way. See? So in that world of thinking, of numbers and growth, Rachmanis doesn't, it's just mercy, not mercy. Think about it. What's the difference? Like, she was right. What's the difference? Daven, that's an afkamina. But to feel to be out of sorts is putting you back. It's not letting you get us. Your mechutanim are there. Come on. Put on a nice face. I can't. I have Rachmanis. And the Baruch Tam was right and she was wrong. But in our mindset, Sarvosai, those are two insights maybe why it's so hard for us to have Rachmanis today, because we're not getting truly emotional. And the world is putting us in this growth-oriented, number-oriented mindset. So now what do? We said we wanted to try to be a little practical today. And the first thing you have to realize is in Judaism it is a value. Because you see the power. Kol merachem lo abris merachem lo min ha-shamayim. Someone who has rachmanis, God will have rachmanis on you. If you have mercy, God's going to be merciful on you. So it means something. So God doesn't look at it that way. And the world is looking at the world, and the world is teaching us to think in a non-godly way. So first we have to fix those two roots. That's one place to start. To search for true emotion as a goal. Right? What are my goalposts in life? I want to be a truly emotional person. Not a selfish person. Not the counterfeit that's selling everybody, making babies, every guy on campus. If a professor said something that doesn't go exactly with the liberal mindset, so then he gets fired because he's threatening. Why? Any new idea is a threat? That doesn't create emotional people. That creates intellectual, emotional, castrated individuals. They're destroying us. They're destroying humanity. Huh? But we have to search for true emotion. I want to be a really emotional person. Not that I have to wear my emotion on my sleeve, but myself. I'm a person who's moved by ideas. I'm a person who's living with other people. I'm a person who's struck by things. I'm a person who's mispoil, who's reishis chokhma pliya. And to realize not only numbers are important, we have to get that in our head. That's not our concept. You've all heard the idea of miyat machzik amruba, small thing, tafasta amruba, lo tafasta, a little bit of purity. What saved us in Hanukkah? One pach shemen, eight kohanim. How many people were there in this slave? There would have been 10. There were 8 or 9, but if it would have been 10, the whole world would have been saved. We know the power of one individual. We know the power of iron color. We know what one person did to all of America. We don't have to be the biggest numbers. We know that any person here could do great things, that someone here could change the whole world. Each one of you. So we don't have to be lost in that world of only thing that counts is numbers, 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 but you have to think about it. So we got to think about those roots, my friend. But furthermore, I'd like to give one other itza, which is to stop and use imagery. To imagine. Right? This is, Volbe used to speak about this a lot from the Alter Kelm, specifically about the meeting Noseh Bolam Chaver, which is very connected to Rachmanis. You know, when you hear about difficulties, not all the time, you know, but sometimes, stop. And think and consider, imagine what it's like. You know, hear about someone who's having trouble having children. What's it like for that woman? She has to go to the park and see all the young mothers swinging her children around. And he goes to Pesach Seder with his brothers and brothers-in-law. And they're all taking pride in giving the Pesach story over to his son. And he has to sit through another Pesach like that. What's it like for him? What is that? That's imagery, to imagine. That's what Rav always used to say. You have to imagine. And when you do that, that opens up your heart a little bit. It really takes care of all the problems we discussed. But to imagine, you have to stop. It's an avoda. It's simpler to just keep going on in life. But sit down sometimes. That's Rachmanis. Okay, so that was the first thing, my friends. Let's go. Let's speak of two more ideas. So many papers out of whack here. The next idea. Chazal tell us, listen to this one. What makes the problem? Sins, huh? That's our problem. Back to our general theme of how to win the judgment. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us that someone who passes over on his midos, which simply means someone offends you and you don't act offended, you don't bear the grudge, God is going to, if you don't bear grudges, God's not going to look at your sins either. Listen to that. Call Merachim Alav Bris, Merachim Alav, call Merachim Alav. You have Rachmanis, God will have Rachmanis on you. But furthermore, if you're not so machbid on other people, you don't have grudges or judgments against others, then God's not going to have grudges against you. Now this word hakpada means a little focus, the idea of grudges. Yeah? Grudges, nothing wrong with grudges. Hating people, that's a problem. Speaking not nicely to people, that's a problem. Not loving people is a problem. You know what a big problem in Judaism? Grudges. Who told us this? The great one, Rabbi Salanter. Rabbi Salanter said, the Abi Avos HaTumah, the father of all Tumah is Gaiva. But he said that there are four branches, four avodah tumah, four fathers of tumah that branch out from gaiva. And the one we want to discuss today for a few moments is grudges. Why do you have grudges? It comes out from gaiva. And he says, and listen to what Rabbi Sorrell said. He says, our relationship to grudges, and we all have them, should be like chametz on Pesach. Bal yira'eh u'bal yimatzeh. Bal yira'eh u'bal yimatzeh. Don't find it, don't have it, get rid of it. And Rabbi Salanter, who said about himself, I have the head of 1,000 people, therefore I have to change the whole world. He had a supercomputer here and a super heart. Save the whole Jewish people. He said, I have a head of... He didn't say that. In another context, he said, I was chozer al kol atzdadim. I thought about it fully, on all angles, and I found there's nothing good about grudges. You know what that means, my friends? You're thinking Rabbi Salanter wasn't thinking about my situation. He was. You know why? Because he was chozer al kol atzdadim. He thought about fully. Now, most people, when they say I thought about something fully, means they spend a little bit of time on it. But he had a supercomputer, head of 1,000 people. The Gadol Hador. Bedoras Kodmim thought about this problem, he thought about grudges, and he said, it's not good for you. Your situation is not good. That's what he said. So how do we avoid this? So that's what I'm going to offer two ideas. A lot more to talk about grudges. It's a big topic. But let's just offer two ideas. So Rashi says there, listen to this Rashi. Hamabir Midosa, this is Rashi in Rosh Hashanah. She'enu medaktik limdod mida limitzar nosok. He's not specific to evaluate a midah, which midah literally means, we talk about midah's characteristics, right? But midah, like Mishnah midot, midah means a measurement thing, a midah. So we're going to learn it that way. Shana medaktik limdod midah limitzarano. So he's not specific to carry a judgment, carry his midah limitzarano. So ella umeniach midos of aholichlo. He lets go of his evaluation systems. He lets go of his midot. He lets go of his anybody have a good word for me? Let's go of his that instruments, his the thing he evaluates things with. And then what happens? Therefore, Melvir no Kolb Shav, we go past all of his sins. Ein minisidin medaktek esachareihem. So this might be what Rashi's saying. We all have ways that we evaluate things, right? And we need those things, and they're good. And we have proper midos. And we act in a certain way through what we've thought about, through what we've received, through what we understand the Torah, through our derech eretz, and we've established ways for ourselves. And when we see someone who presses against those ways specifically with us, we're how could he not do that? How in the world could he do that? Such a lack of derech eretz. That's what you have to let go of. That's what you have to let go of. And I'll tell you a story that happened to me this past year. I, in my travels, have to contact and speak to different rabbis, you know, I generally have a rule, maybe someone here has called me on it, but generally I answer emails. It's a rule of mine. I try. You know, we all make mistakes. I have a rule, I answer emails. Fine. So I'm trying to contact a rabbi to see whether I should go visit this person in Chutz Laretz, right? Send him an email. Send him another email. Send him another email. I'm upset. You know, I have to plan the trip. Should I go there? Should I go there? Should I make the plane ticket? Should I not make the plane ticket? I even wrote the guy an introduction. I explained why he should, you know, he didn't know. Someone I didn't know, but still. I gave him a certain introduction I thought he should respond to. Huh? Nothing. Finally, I said, I got to call him up. Go to the telephone. Now listen to what happened. I called him up. Within 30 seconds, 45 the most, he said, oh, you're coming to X? You're staying in my house. I was blown away. You know? Now, I answer emails, but I don't invite people to my house like that. You see? So he has a beautiful midah. He has maybe a bad midah that doesn't answer emails, but he has another beautiful midah that invites people that he doesn't even know, strangers, to stay in his house. And after how much time? 40 seconds. Amazing. Amazing. So now, here's the point. So what Eitz is Rashi telling us? How can we get out of this thing? How can we let go of our grudges a little bit? We have to take our evaluation system, which we use for ourselves, and which is very powerful for ourselves and necessary for ourselves and excellent, that we built up. And keep answering emails, for sure. Keep doing what you think is derech eretz. But when it comes to someone else who does something bad to you, let go of it. Just let go. Okay, he didn't answer an email. I let go of my midah. It's not going to help me to judge him. Rabbi Salanter told me that grudges get me nowhere. Victims are never liked deep down. They're not respected. You get nowhere for being a victim in your lives, my friends. Nowhere. Zero. I learned that lesson a long time. Where victims get nothing. You don't gain anything. So let go. Just let go of the mida. I for you, you use it. Yeah, for him, don't. Why is he answering email? I don't know why. But let go of that grudge, right? And something you can use to help you let go of that grudge is the fact that that person probably has a lot of good milas that you don't have. You have your specific systems. We've all developed ourselves in different ways, and we have. But we haven't developed ourselves in other ways. I don't invite people to my house to sleep over, hardly ever, right? It's certainly people I don't know. But he has that, and I have that. So we can let go of our midas a little bit. That'll help us, okay? The other one, other eights I'd just like to offer some Revolba. Listen to these words. Revolba deals with this question directly in his magnum opus, Ali Shor Chedik Beis. How do you avoid not to get hakpada? How do I avoid having grudges? Right? Totally different approach. Let's hear something totally different. So says Revolba, Mida achas yeshna. There's a certain characteristic that someone who's got it is not going to be a kapten. And I'll bet no one, if you haven't heard this, could guess what it is. Mida zuhi bedichas hadas. Being light-minded. Huh? Hanikra b'fiolam humor. Humor. Being humorous. Being light-minded. Not taking it so serious. Okay, he didn't answer an email. Just let go a little. Here, it's not... The first way we spoke about is more specific. You know, I have this mida and I let go. You got to have your mida. Just let go. Second way is just be lighter. Take it easy. Make a joke. Bedicha sadats. Zui mida. See, it's a deep mida. Listen to how he explains it. Zui mida sheish ba chemla al kshei yom. You have mercy on those who have difficult life. Salchanut lechalushei adat. Forgiveness to those of weak-minded, but ayin chada lechushus b'nei adam. You're a sharp person. You can see people's problems. You're not a space cadet. Belila zalzel be'er kam, but without being mazalzel, he has a chisaron. But I'm not mazalzel. That person is a great person. The person I was talking about, he's done great things for Klal Yisrael. He doesn't answer emails, so I have an ayin chada. I see he has a chosha. I do believe he has a chosha, but he's a great guy. I'm not mazalzel in his erech. He's chashev. He's amazing. Hit alut me'al ha-matzavim mevichim carries you up against difficult situations. Kasher ha-pikchut va'ava kruchim zebezeh. As wisdom and love are mixed together. That's what humor is by Revolba, not a simple mida. But it's like being like-minded, being able to just go above things a little bit. Okay? That you won't get the grudges because you'll take life a little bit less seriously on that level. Okay? So those are two eights. As we're both saying, we get to our third eight. So, like I said, the first one was Rachman. The second one is to let go of our grudges and not be a grudgeful person. The last one, of course, is Danin Lekavskos. Judging favorably. Chazal tells us, call Danin Lekavskos, Danin Ozon Lekavskos. That's the last thing. We need God to judge us favorably, right? You can look at the same thing. Was it a good thing? Was it a bad thing? Well, also, like Rabbeinu Nefesh Chaim explains to us, most things that go on today are a mix. There are very, very few purely pure actions. There are very, very few purely wicked actions. When did that happen? About 5779 ago, on the sixth day of creation, when Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas. Everything got mixed in. Everything got mixed up, right? So how do you judge it? Well, did he mean the right thing? Did he not mean the right thing? Well, I don't know. He had an ulterior motive, you know? You can look at everything and cut it. Ronnie gets a salary. He's not doing me anything nice for me. He gets a salary, right? That's not Danin Lekavskos. See, that's the beginning of Danin Lekavskos. When you judge like that, God's going to judge you not favorably. You have to judge favorably. Okay? Now, you know, I like to say that Chazal talked about how to judge. We should do another step. We should just stop judging altogether. Why are we judging all the time? Danin Lekavskos assumes I'm judging. Let's just stop judging. Let's not be so judgmental. There's a situation where you have to judge, obviously, if the rabbi spoke about it. But they weren't talking to us. We're in an earlier stage. We should just throw out, stop judging. Why do we have to be so judgmental of people all the time? God will be less judgmental of us. Finally, your bosai, it's in our best interest. You know why? It's in our best interest to judge favorably. Besides what we say, because God's going to judge us favorably. You know who else will judge us favorably if we judge favorably? So I heard the Alshich, the sefer from the Zman Ari. The Alshich was someone who lived at the same time as the Arizal. He was the Darshan Tzfas when the Holy Ari was there. And he says that we all talk about there's a Beis Din after 120. You know who's on the Beis Din? You. You're on your own Beis Din. Yeah? But you don't realize it's you that you're judging. So you can imagine this. You're going to see all the events in your life, and you're going to make judgment. We couldn't say such a thing. This is what the Al-Sheikh says. And you're going to make judgment on yourself. But there's one problem. You don't realize it's on yourself. So now think about it. If you train yourself over a whole life to judge people favorably, in that situation, you're going to judge yourself favorably. But if you've been a tough guy your whole life, when you see your own life, you're going to judge yourself that way, and it's not going to be good. Okay? So that's it. Let's stop judging so much. And, you know, so much of the time, we don't even know the facts. Like they say, Atcha Degilim come until you come to this place. Right? No one gets to anybody's place. Does anybody here really fully understand anybody else in the whole room? Does anybody know where we've been, what we've gone through, why we are the way we are? Atcha Degilim come. So we have to judge favorably. Now, I want to just offer one practical point about that, and then we'll finish, which is like this. A very practical aid. So the starting point of judging favorably, besides thinking about what we just spoke about, is to realize I can be wrong. Does anybody remember Happy Days? You know, the Fonz couldn't say the word wrong. Remember that one? He couldn't get it out. Anyway, clear. I am wrong. I'm wrong. We always assume we're right for some stupid reason. For some wrong reason, we assume we're right. We're wrong all the time. So we make quick evaluations about things. We assume we're right. And now someone has to come against the default. We should realize we're wrong a lot of times. We judge situations, and he did this, and she did this, and this was that way. You really don't know. So often, I'm saying, without the high level, Achik, Digilum, Como, realizing everybody's different, all that stuff, etc. Right? On a simple level, would you bet money on your evaluation? You know, you don't know. He's definitely going to win. What's going to happen in the elections today? I know. You don't know. You have no idea. Hashem should help us. We'll say Tilim after Mincha also, like we did after Shacharis. Who knows what's going to be? Someone knows. So why do we assume we know? You have to get yourself into that headspace. It's a lot easier to down. Like, see, if my default is I'm always right, so I know, right? But if my default is, you know, I don't know. A lot of times I don't know. So then when it's so much easier to down like Kapskos. So those are three ideas. Let's keep those in mind, right? Let's try to have Rachmanis. Let's try to be Mavir al Midosov. And let's try to down the Kapskos. And let's make a remez for it. How are we going to remember it? How do you remember things? With a remez, with a hint, with an acronym. You know what the remez for this is? How do you say hint in Hebrew? Remez. You know what the remez for this is? Remez. Remez. Resh is Rachmanis. Mem is Mavir al Midosov. And Zion is Schut. Okay, so Bezrat Hashem, by keeping this in mind, we and the whole Jewish people should be nechtam v'nechtam for a wonderful year for the yeshiva, for everybody in their families, and for all Klai Yisrael.